to greet two devotees who have come from foreign countries to join us today. Krishnalaya, who has joined us from the land of the steppes in the Hungary, and Krishna Prana, who has come from the land of the icebergs, the Canada almost sounds like Ananda. And welcome that you have arrived here this evening. During this Gauralila Katha, we are trying to enter a little bit into the secrets of divine love, really, which is something I would like you to contemplate a little bit. There's a famous theologian called Augustinus who wrote a well-received book called Confessions. It's still a classic amongst literature. I think it belongs to the world literature. And in this book, he describes the profound grief and agony which he felt when his very good friend Necrodamus or something like this died. And at that time, Augustinus experienced how frustrated love, that is, when someone cancels the relationship, even if it is by death, leads to immense frustration. This grief of frustration led him, and he writes about this in Confession, to say that this has taught me a lesson, that the only safe love is really love which is put to God, because only then we are guaranteed that this relationship will not be cancelled, not even by death. So he introduces the concept of safe love. But I would like to ask the question, if you want to enter into a relationship which is safe, for whom is this safe? For you. You don't wish to be disappointed. You don't wish to be frustrated. You don't wish to experience pain. Bhakti is different. At once, we are moving out of the safety zone. By my nature, I am a safety lover. I want a safe car. I want a safe bank account. I want a safe residence in a house where the heating works. I want a safe God. But this has nothing to do with divine love. If you enter into a relationship of divine love, even of real love, then it's not you open yourself up for uncertainties. I have to always think about it, when I think of the youngest member of our Gaura Bhavan, it's Mandali, the queen of and the empress of our thing. Was it safe for the parents to have a child? Is it safe that the child will become the way the parents would the child like to become? No. It's not safe. The child can be born with deformities or problems. The child can die even as a miscarriage, the child can turn out in a totally different way than it was planned. But the parents love the children nevertheless, and maybe even more, because they know they are their own persons. They can make their own decisions. They have their own developments. And it's not that we should love them less. If we do, then this shows that we have not learned what is love. It shows that we are too self-centered. Now, a selfless love enters always, has always to do with vulnerability, Verletzlichkeit. And this is what Gauranga Mahaprabhu teaches us in the 8th shloka of his work, Shikshastakam. Ashlishyava Padaratam, he says, "My Lord, you can do with me what you wish. You can embrace me, or you can pain my heart by not being present before me. You have every right to do what you wish, but please know one thing. No matter how you choose to deal with your servant, you are always my beloved unconditionally." This is a different concept than the concept of Augustinus, who wants a safeguard. When the God disappoints him in any way, he may even leave him. Or he may construct, this is more like Augustinus, some explanation why he is like this. And in this way also try to control the Lord. So today we will learn a little bit about the unconditional love of Godhead by seeing through the eyes of Srivas Pandit. When we see through the eyes of the devotee, so we may see something which we have not seen before about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it is here what we learn is unconditioned love. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare Hare.
Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's staying here in our planet Earth, there was trouble. The government was a foreign government with a different religious idea than the Hindus, and when they saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement started to spread, they began to inflict torture upon those who belonged to Gauranga Mahaprabhu's movement. They wanted to show in a frightening way. I only know the German word is abschreckend, you know, that look, if you take to a different religion than the government is advocating, and if you show it in public, you have to be prepared to face severe punishment. That's why the saint Haridas Thakur was flocked on the streets of his town, so that everyone would see, don't follow his example, see how we deal with him. They had the order to kill him by the flogging, by the auspeitschen, whipping. That's how they dealt with the great devotee Gangadas, who was a teacher of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He had a school where he taught Sanskrit, and therefore as a teacher was a target of the government. Overnight, 10 people came with lances, armed people, and Gangadas was just getting, he got an information one hour before the soldier's stroke, and he could escape in the last moment with his family. Imagine you wake up one day in your comfortable sleeping room, or if you are poor, on your pritsche, on your bed plank, and your best friend is there and says you have to run. Your assassinators are behind you. You have to leave and drop everything just because of your inner convictions and your belief. Gangadas escaped with his family, but they were very, very, very afraid, because the soldiers were catching up and they would violate the wife of Gangadas before his eyes and then kill her. And so Gangadas was running with all his family members to the Ganga. At that time, it was night time, there was no boat, and he was desperate. He thought, better is we kill ourselves by drowning ourselves in the Ganga than coming into the hands of these people who persecute us because of our belief. So at that time, this was later revealed, he called out for the Lord, and Gauranga Mahaprabhu heard the pleas of his devotee and came with a boat and saved him from danger. This is, I just read today, when we sincerely call out to the Lord in a perplexed situation, in a confused situation where we don't really know how to act and how to save ourselves. He who resides in the heart of all hears the desperate call of his devotees and always answers it by either coming personally, like he came for Gangadas, or by speaking in the heart of the devotee an answer, giving a solution by which he shows the way out of danger. So it was a dangerous time, and the followers of Gauranga Mahaprabhu couldn't really be half-hearted. they had to be convinced, and they had to stand up because their faith was tested. It's different than nowadays when you are a Hare Krishna devotee. It's not really a problem, no? But I do remember in Germany it was also once a problem. I remember we had a temple at the Kurfürstenallee, and there was a bad propaganda in Germany at that time, a really demoniac propaganda which insinuated, or which the propaganda wanted to paint us really as devils. And I remember once we were doing our morning program and we were offering prasadam. I never forget this. And Jaigora was next to me offering prasadam. We were the two. We had finished our Bhagavatam reading and we did now the offering for the breakfast. And at the end, Jaigora was bowing down to offer. And I thought, let me also bow down today. And I bowed down. And the moment I was bowing down, I heard the shattering of glass and the bullets came just over my head. Boom, 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 boom. Then we heard the screeching tires of a car. And our assassinators escaped to freedom. But we were not hurt. We were protected by Krishna. Especially, I think Jaigora was, he was making the offering, but I just had the idea, let me also bow down. If I would not have bowed down on that day doing the offering, now I would preach in another body. So Srivas Thakur was especially the target of the government because it was in his compound, zu Deutsch Anwesen, where the kirtans of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took part, and there were rumors that he had been reported actually to the government, and there were rumors that soldiers would come the very next day and take him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu responded in two ways. He knocked at the door when Srivas Thakur did his puja to Lord Nrisimhadev. And when Srivas Thakur was afraid that this were the wrong people, you know. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu just broke the door open. He showed his forearm with his infallible weapons like the chakra, and he said, "There's nothing to worry. I'm with you." And while he said this, he slapped himself on the left side. This is a certain language which maybe Hari Prasad knows. It's when you do wrestling before you start the match, the wrestling match, you first throw some earth in the sky and then beat yourself on the left side to show your superior strengths. Krishna would sometimes, as a child, come before his parents and beat himself like this, showing that he was strong enough to carry anything. So, the Qazi had threatened all who would sing would lose their property, he would confiscate it, and they would lose their caste. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed this four-armed form and assured Srivas that there's nothing to fear as long as he was there, Srivas gave up all fear. And he laughed about the unreasonable threat of the Qazi and arranged together with other devotees a long, long kirtan procession which would enrage the Qazi even further. I took some verses here from the Chaitanya Bhagavat to alert you to this first kirtan procession, which I find always very encouraging. Before the kirtan started, Lord Chaitanya asked Srivas, "Have you any fears?" Imagine, this was a non-violent demonstration. It was breaking the explicit order of the Qazi that he would not tolerate if any kirtan would be performed. Then the expert speaker, Srivas Thakur, answered, "He raised his arms in the air and he spoke to the Lord, 'O Lord, when in the form of time you annihilate the entire creation, I'm not afraid due to the power of your holy names. So what is there to fear now that you are personally present in my house?'" Then this is the biggest source of fear, that there's an apocalyptic destruction, everything falls into pieces, but then the devotee takes shelter in the holy name, it is not of Krishna, it is not afraid. So Srivas Thakur says, "You are now in my house, why should I be afraid?" I remember once in Mayapur, there was a lot of talk about the Third World War, and we in Germany, we started to build bomb shelters and so on. It was really so much. And we asked Prabhupada, "What should we do if they throw atomic bombs?" And then he says, "We will sit together and do kirtan." This was his answer, his possibility to become fearless. Schaut mal, du siehst sehr sweet aus, wenn du schläfst. Also, ist mir direkt aufgefallen eben. After speaking in this way, Srivas Pandit became overwhelmed as he and his associates saw the Lord's opulence. This is a very old concept. Fear arises when you turn away from Krishna, and fear leaves your heart when you turn to Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur quotes a verse which is spoken by Kapila Dev to his mother. He says, "My dear mother, devotees who receive transcendental realizations are never bereft of them. Neither weapons nor the change of time can destroy their realizations. Because the devotees accept me as their friend, their relative, their son, their preceptor, their benefactor, and if they are priests, as their supreme deity, they can never be deprived at any time of their possessions," which means their internal possessions. My dear devotees, all of us, to a larger or bigger extent, are trembling in fear. This trembling and fear is sometimes expressed as our desire to work for our own security and the security and safety of our families. This trembling of our fear is shown when we are hesitant to enter into a loving relationship with Krishna or with the devotees. This trembling and fear is a symptom of material consciousness, and it can only go if the soul opens his arms, like Srivas. He opened his arms and said, "My Lord, even at the time of destruction, I'm not afraid when I chant your holy name. But now you are in my home, why should I be afraid of persecution. It is not possible. So this is a very, very nice mood of Srivastakur. Srivastakur is described, he laughed the whole time in this great procession, Kirtan procession, which went like a snake of light, because they had torchlights through all the nine towns of Navadvip and came finally to a halt at the house of the Katsis. At that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dressed like the god of love. How is the god of love dressed? I don't know if you have ever seen him. He has a bow. In all cultures, he is represented with the bow and the arrows. But Lord Chaitanya had another arrow. It was the arrow of his beauty. He had long hair, dressed with jasmine strands. He was well built, broad shoulders, like a lion, and a small, I don't know how you call it, waist. He had a dhoti, a yellowish dhoti, jasmine flowers, and his eyes were very long, and they exuded sweetness because his heart was full of love, love of Krishna. So this is how Lord Chaitanya conquered, by the arrows of his beauty. Lord Rama took the Brahmastra on his bow, and when he put it on, Varuna and all the ocean animals were trembling in fear of him, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conquers by his beauty. When I think of this, I have to remember Dostoevsky, the depressed Russian writer, who wrote, "Beauty will conquer the world." Extreme beauty. So I would like to now bring you into the house of Srivastakur. To a particular kirtan which took place there. Many miracles took place in the house of Srivastakur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had shown that he is the self-same Lord by transforming into the greenish, strong body of Lord Ramachandra with bow and arrows. At that time, Murari Gupta came forward to offer his obeisances. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Murari, do you know who I am?" Murari Gupta cried, "You are my Lord Rama." At that time, Gauranga had answered, "Do you know who you are? You are Hanuman, my great devotee who was with me when I came as Rama. For 21 hours, the Lord showed how he is Krishna in Vrindavan, surrounded with Balaram under a Kalpa Briksha tree. This was the time where the Lord manifested this super, super ecstasies. But there was another time about which I want to tell you today. In the midst of the kirtan, joyful kirtan, Chaitanya, there was a cry of anguish.
No.
The devotees couldn't hear it, but Srivas, who was the host and who was a little bit at the edge of the kirtan, could hear that some great calamity had overcome his house. And when he went outside, running to the place from where this cry of anguish had come, he arrived in the woman's quarters, and there on the bed he saw his own son who had just died. Srivas Thakur was a typical devotee who had dedicated his mind and his body only to the pleasure of Krishna, and the thought that the grief upon the departure of his son would disturb the kirtan gave him so much problem that he forbade the women to cry out loud. And this shows you a little bit his mood. He was the typical devotee. A devotee says something very interesting. He says, "My mind doesn't belong to me any longer. I only engage it in your service. My body doesn't belong to me any longer. It's yours. I engage it in your service. Home, family, friends, my belongings, all are meant only for your service and nothing else. I don't own anything any longer. Only your wish is to be fulfilled. Mind, body, families," sings Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "and whatever else is mine, I have surrendered at your lotus feet. O useful son of Nanda, in good fortune and in bad, in life and in death, all my difficulties have gone away by accepting your lotus feet as my shelter. Slay me or protect me as you wish, for you have ownership of your eternal servant. If it is your will that I be born again, then may that birth be in the home of your devotee." Why does a devotee often ask to be born in the house of another devotee, even as an insect? What is his... He doesn't mind to be a gnat. Gnat is mücke. Why? But he wants to be in the home of a devotee. Why? There's the holy name. Yes, this is something quite close. Well, the reason why we are born again... Sorry, Malini. Prasadam is there. all this is certainly right, but just like in the children lectures, they all say different things, but we sometimes need the right thing. My dear devotees, the reason why we are not going back to Godhead, or well, this is a concept which a devotee also doesn't want. The reason why we are not close to the Lord is that we don't have any bhakti. Bhakti doesn't reside in the many places of this material world. It hides in the heart of the true bhakta. And if we have contact with the true bhakta, then his bhakti rubs in our heart. That's why devotees also like to embrace other devotees, because then their heart are close. Means affection. They want to have an affectionate exchange with devotees, because at that time, what is in the heart of the devotee, the bhakti, which is such a rare commodity, comes into our heart. So therefore he says, if it is your will that I be born again, then may that birth be in the home of your devotee. May I even take birth as a worm. As long as I remain your devotee, I have no desire for a birth as Brahma or any other high position if I'm averse to you. So this is the mood of a devotee. Manasa deha geho. Mind, body, family, and whatever else is mine, I have surrendered at your lotus feet. And this is the mood of Srivas Thakur. And that's why he is such a wonderful Vaishnava. Srivas believed, there is nothing with me that I call my own any longer. No secrets, no secret attachments, no secret agendas. I am only for you, and you are mine. Please accept me. One thing about Srivas Thakur was that he was one of the principal singers in Gauranga Mahaprabhu's kirtans. You know, in the kirtans, they always had singers, then they had dancers, and they had medanga players and kartal players. These were all assigned roles, and they all knew what to do and how to do it. So he was a singer. He would always change his voice according to the moods of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Gauranga Mahaprabhu. You know, just like, I want to give you an example. When I asked Munishvara Hari to play today, during the time when Srivas Thakur heard the sudden cry of anguish from the woman quarters, I said, a sad raga, not a lively, joyful raga, because it has to match the mood. Music has to match the mood. So when Gauranga Mahaprabhu danced, he would sometimes see Krishna and relate to Krishna in a certain way. Sometimes he would beg Krishna in the mood of the gopis to please return to Vrindavan. Sometimes he would be angry at Krishna. So there were different moods, and somehow Srivas Pandit knew all this, what the moods of Nitai and Gauranga were. I can imagine when they did this procession through Nadia, it was a strong mood, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. It's a little strong. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. It's like this. Not the mood of separation. They were now going into action, and they were possibly facing armed resistance. So it was a strong melody was required. When he did a kirtan around the temple in Puri, or the kirtan at the Rasa Yatra, another mood was required. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had many moods. It is described by Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. His heart was like an ocean where different waves crashed on the shore. And these waves were different moods which at times would totally overwhelm Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At times he would just sit for many hours on the ground, and with his nail he would paint, he would draw paintings in the sand and call of Krishna and call, "Krishna, Krishna, where are you?" A very special moods. So I wanted to tell you about one particular very intense moment in Srivas Thakur's life. It was actually one morning. No, I should explain to you. Srivas Thakur's house was close to the Ganga, so every morning he would go to the Ganga and take his bath. And then when he was bathed, he would come to the house of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He would not disturb, but just pay his obeisances and then go to his own house. So one morning he had finished his bath and he went to the house of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he saw on the floor a white dressed lady. She was lying there as if unconscious. And when he came close, that lady cried, and he could understand it was Mother Sachi. And there was nothing coming from her, from Mother Sachi, except the words, "Oh Gauranga, oh Gauranga." Gauranga Mahaprabhu had gone out of the house in the morning to take sannyas and never return back home. So Mother Sachi remained crying. This was when Srivas Thakur saw that Mother Sachi cried like this in a special way. He knew immediately what had happened, because Gauranga Mahaprabhu had hinted once that he would take sannyas. It was just one sentence. When Gauranga Mahaprabhu had heard that Srivas Thakur did not want to disturb, did not want his wife Malini to disturb the kirtan by crying for the dead boy, at that time, when Gauranga Mahaprabhu became aware what had happened, he said, "How can I ever leave someone like that?" So Srivas Thakur knew at that time that Gauranga was thinking of leaving Navadvip. So when he came to and saw Mother Sachi lying and crying, he immediately understood Mother Sachi is crying because Gauranga has left. And then Srivas Thakur cried like a child. Even his enemies who had spoken ill about him and the kirtans which took place in his house were moved to tears. My dear devotees, what can I say about the magnanimous characteristics of Srivas Pandit? The dust of his lotus feet purifies the whole world. He was so devastated that he took a group of devotees and they all went to the Ganga to drown themselves. You might think, well, Ganga, you can swim? No, Ganga is very fast. In Navadvip, when you jump into the Ganga, it happens every Gopunim, two or three Hare Krishna devotees, who think they are more powerful swimmers than Ganga, they leave their bodies. I have to sometimes do even announcements that so-and-so has died in the Ganga, so-and-so, please don't bathe in the Ganga, don't go too far out. They wanted to drown themselves, but Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who knew about the pain of Srivas and the other devotees, spoke as a voice from the sky, "No, don't drown yourself. You will meet me again." After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Navadvip, Srivas couldn't stay in Navadvip any longer. Everywhere there were memories of his Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So he went with his whole family away from Navadvip to a place called Kumarahatta, which was the place, the birthplace of Ishwarapuri. Other Vaishnavas like Shivananda Sena and Vasudev Datta settled nearby. It became like Neuruppin, where there are many Vaishnavas settling here and there, all over, all in the neighborhood. There's so many wonderful Vaishnavas. So Kumarahatta became also a place where many devotees went after Gauranga went. There was an exodus of devotees from Navadvip. But he couldn't stay long without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He went every year with his wife Malini to Puri, and they stayed for 4 months in Puri. And there comes the last pastime which I would like to narrate. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had special dancing styles. When he danced, there was one style, it was called Udanda, where he would jump very high and then land. I saw Ananda Vardhan dancing today very high with Varaha. This is called the Udanda dancing style. But Mahaprabhu, I think, could jump much higher even than we human beings can dance. Another style was the Parimunda style. There was the Viraha style. And then one time there was, it is called the Chakra dance style. That's something which maybe you could study. It's where he moves like a wheel. I can imagine it looks very nice with the dhoti, when one is like a wheel going. Very, very, very strong movement. Kalakanta, do you know this chakra style? Maybe it can be done also in like this, the spinning around, and not like this. That is a little. So he was stunned, he perspired, he trembled, he rolled with lightning rapidity on the ground. He looked like a golden mountain which was cut and then rolled in the dust. It was really something else. When devotees saw that Gauranga Mahaprabhu started to dance, the masses converged, they came together, and they would chant very loudly, "Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
Is it
already. Yes. Thank you. And they would be spellbound and mesmerized. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would dance, he would make gestures and he would give his wordless messages to the world. It was always about Krishna and meeting Krishna. So because the crowd would press in and come, there was a big need to protect the dancing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, three circles with strong and able-bodied Vaishnavas were made. The first circle was supervised by Nityananda, the Avaduta, the second by Mukunda and Kashishwar, and the third, this is one incident in the Ratha Yatra, by Pratapa Rudra and his general Harichandan. Imagine there are three such circles. That means no one can break through and squash Gauranga Mahaprabhu or take away his dance, his space which he requires for dancing. But everyone still wanted to see the dancing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They pressed really, and you know Indian crowds. If you want to know what are crowds, go to India, and if you want to know what they do when they get mad, go to Vashana during holy time. It's really intense pushing. So Shivas Thakur, who was in the second circle, he was protecting there, but Maharaj Pratapa Rudra, the king, who was in the third circle, wanted to see the dancing of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. I mean, the Udanda dancing and the Chakra dancing and all the dancing style. I mean, I would give my life to see the dance of the Gauranga. It is said anyone who saw that once attained love of Godhead. Finished. Work finished. No need of sadhana any longer. Love of Godhead is given. Like just seeing the dance. Hare Krishna. So Shivas Thakur was seeing, but Pratapa Rudra was trying to see. So the general Harichandra wanted to. He tapped on the shoulder of Shivas Thakur. I mean, after all, the king was wanting to see, you know, and he was the general of the king. So move aside. Geh doch ein aus der Sonne, we would say in German language. Can't you see you're standing in the king's view? So when Sivas was constantly reminded of this, he just took his hand and just he turned around and gave the general a slap. I think he must have hit him just next to between the mustache and the ear. And there was a good fingerprint. So Hari said this was too much, you know. He's a general. He wanted to really get upset. And Pratapa Rudra said, tolerate. You are blessed by Shrivas Thakur. I wish I would be blessed by his lotus hand, like you are blessed. This is a personal associate who's really dear to the Lord. Do not react. Don't become angry. This was Shivas. In Puri, at that time, Advaita Prabhu got together with Shrivas and said, we should make some propaganda here, or we should tell the truth to the world And that is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not the servant of the Lord, but he is God himself. And they started to sing a kirtan. Sri Chaitanya Narayan,
Sri Chaitanya Narayan,
Karuna Sagara, Dukhitera Bandhu
Prabhu,
More Dayakara. O Lord Chaitanya, you are Narayan himself. You are an ocean of mercy. You are the friend of the distressed. Give mercy to your devotees. And they did many such kirtans until finally Gauranga Mahaprabhu heard this and came out and said, why are you telling this nonsense? You are a learned scholar, Srivas. Why would you expose someone who wants to remain hidden? So that time Srivas Thakur humorously waved his hand like this before the sun, trying to... Then Gauranga said, why are you waving your hands like this? And Srivas said, with love in his voice, my Lord, can the hand remain hidden? No, can the sun remain hidden by the hand? Is it possible? No. In the same way, it is not possible that you are remaining hidden. It is not possible. You are the self-effulgent, supreme Lord, and the world knows it. And at this moment, a huge kirtan party from the northern parts of the Himalayas called Tripura came to that place, and they all chanted Jaya Sachinanda Gaura Hari. Something about the glories of Srivas Thakur, but As Vrindavan Das Thakur said, what can I say about the characteristics of Shivas? The dust of his lotus feet purifies the entire world. Shivas Thakur gave the best in the beginning time of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. He gave counsel, he gave companionship, and he shared the sorrow and the derision, means verlächerung, the spot, which the movement earned in the beginning. Later, he shared the joy when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement was spreading. In his own words, he said, "May our family increase," the famous sentence, "May our family of devotees increase." He is the role model of the devotee, and he is the most charitable Vaishnava, because anyone who hears about him gets can experience how his own heart is filled with bhakti, with Chaitanya bhakti. This is very special. There was the appearance day of Shivas Thakur a few weeks ago, and I started my first part there, and this is the end, this is the second part. I thank you for staying with us in the Gaura Lila Katha. May the blessings of Shivas Pandit be with us. There is a very nice deity of Shivas on the altar. His hands are usually folded in the gesture of a devotee. And I request you to chant one very nice mantra to him. Kibaliba Shrivasera,
Kibaliba Shrivasera,
Udara Charitra,
Udara Charitra,
Janhara Charana Dule,
Janhara Charana Dule,
Samsara Pavitra,
Samsara Pavitra.
What can I say about the magnanimous characteristics of Shrivas Pandit? The dust of his lotus feet purifies the entire material world and finishes the pain of samsara. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, this is all. I heard the next Gaura Lila is evening is already in 1 week, Friday in 1 week. We will end here. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.